Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome back to Catholic Answers Live, Hour 2. Good to have you here with us. I am Cy Kellett, your host. 2 hours of open forum. We're in the second hour, and our guest this hour is Father Paul Jerome Keller. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. You don't have to be Catholic to call this hour. And any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history, the morals of the Catholic Church, we are happy to answer that. 888-31-TRUTH. Father Keller is presently Associate Professor of Sacramental Theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. He's also taught at Providence College in Rhode Island and Steubenville Franciscan University. He is the past president of the Society for Catholic Liturgy, and he's also the author of 101 Questions and Answers on the Sacraments of Healing. Father Paul Keller, thank you for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you very much, Cy. Great to be with you again.
I like using your middle name sometimes, Father.
Well, I do too, especially since there is another Father Paul Keller who also writes things, so I like to distinguish myself by using my middle name.
You also distinguish yourself by your excellent answers on Catholic Answers.
Thank you very much.
And you're a Dominican. Is the other Father Keller a Dominican, or do you know?
No, he's not. He's a Claretian.
Oh, okay. You got that on him. Well, I don't even actually know. I mean, that's not, you don't have it on him. I
do. The Dominicans are fantastic.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear. And they're very humble, I've noticed. There's a lot of humility.
Well, they're proud of their order. They're humble about themselves, I think, I hope. But they love the Dominican order, which is good.
You know, that is really exuded here by Father Vincent Serpa. He does indeed love the Dominican order. Who are you guys the like proudest of? Is it Thomas Aquinas? I mean, if you got Thomas Aquinas, it's kind of hard not to make him the top.
Yeah,
or St. Dominic.
Yeah, definitely. St. Dominic takes the top. He's our father, our founder. But Aquinas, the great theologian. And then there's Albert the Great. But we really have a great love for St. Catherine of Siena as well, and Rose of Lima. So there are quite a few saints in the family that we're definitely proud of.
Now, how is St. I must have missed something, I'm forgetting something in St. Catherine of Siena's story. She was, she took vows as a Dominican?
She lived as what they referred to at that period in her and the 14th century, in which she was living as a Mantellata, a group of women who were serving the church, serving the poor, especially. But Catherine was a ringleader with that, and she was associated with the Dominicans. She didn't take vows in the order.
Oh, I see.
But she lived a virginal life and a mystical life at that, and it was with the friars that she associated herself and would pray in the Dominican church in Siena all the time. In fact, the church still stands there, the place where she used to walk back and forth and having conversations with God.
Wow.
It's amazing.
And since you mentioned her, I want to ask you about St. Rose of Lima. Was she the first saint of the Americas, the first person canonized associated with the Americas? Do you know?
The first of the Americas, I want to say yes. Was she the first of the Americas? That's a good question.
Okay.
I'm afraid to give a wholehearted yes to. I think it's true.
Okay.
And if any other Dominicans are listening, they're saying, yes, just say yes.
Oh, okay. Just say yes. She's one of ours. And Lima, of course, at the time, just recently converted from to Christianity, really.
Yes, yeah. And at the same time as Rose of Lima was Juan Macias. We have one of our novices who's taken that name. We haven't heard that name in our province in a long time. Also, of course, St. Martin de Porres. No one can forget our wonderful St. Martin.
Right. Wow. You got a lot of good saints. Yeah, I got to admit it. Yeah, you should be proud to be a Dominican. But just the last question before we go to calls, because we get a lot of calls in. But since we're talking about the Dominicans, I didn't mean to, but I'm really glad we are. And we're talking with Father Paul Jerome Keller, who is himself a Dominican. Do you get called Pope very much because you wear all the white like that?
Well, that's funny, actually. No, not a lot, but I do go to a couple of prisons in the area where I help out, say Mass, hear confessions, and teach. And the first time I ever went, and it still happens, I must say, the first time I went into the prison, because I wear my habit there as well, yeah, word spread like wildfire throughout with all the inmates. The Pope is here. So it was kind of funny.
It's kind of hard not to disappoint after that. No, sorry, fellas.
And you know that the Pope wears white because Pope Pius V was a Dominican and just continued to wear his habit in the 16th century.
Of course I know that. I mean, I hide my knowledge about a lot of these things.
I knew that. So I just wanted to draw that people's attention.
Out of humility, I pretend I don't know. But of course, who doesn't know about Pope Pius V? Let me give out the number. 888-318-7884. Father, the distinguished Father Paul Jerome Keller. OP is our guest this hour, and open forum means anybody can call. You don't have to be Catholic. You can be thinking about being Catholic. You can have left the Catholic Church. Anybody can call with any question they've got on us Catholics. And Father, why don't we go to calls right away? Is that okay with you, Father?
Sounds great.
All right. John in Chandler, Arizona, listening or watching on Facebook. Hi, John. Your question for Father Keller.
Hi, Father. Thanks for taking my call. My brother is getting married in a couple weeks, and his fiance, she was married through the Catholic Church, and they're going to get married through Justice of the Peace. And they asked me if I'm going to attend, and us being Catholic, I know I cannot attend. And I just want to know, how can I explain to them that I cannot attend their wedding? And then some of the people at our church would say, hate the sin, but love the sinner. Yes, but I still can't attend because it shows that the church would accept that, because she has not gotten an annulment yet. And it's been, I think, 3-4 years since her divorce. So how can I explain to them that I cannot attend?
Well, John, a lot of people would, and you've probably heard this from a number of people, telling you that that you can, that you can attend. And so it is a difficult position that you're in, because you feel that to go to the wedding, if I'm understanding you correctly, would be to compromise the church's teaching about the sacredness of the sacrament of marriage, since what your brother will be doing is engaging in something that is by which he's bound to engage in terms of a sacrament, but failing to do so. Am I onto that correctly?
No, they would be getting married through the courts, not the church.
Right. Oh, I see. But still, it would be your concern is that it would be invalid, right?
Yes.
Okay. Is your brother Catholic?
Yes, our whole family's Catholic, and so is she. And
right. And have you had a conversation with him about this?
I've mentioned it to him, but I just need, you know, more information on why, you know, the church looks at it as her still being married,
right,
without the annulment.
And that's really the issue here, isn't it? That this woman is still married, and that's because the sacrament of marriage, instituted by Christ as a sacrament, admits of no break in it. That is to say, it's indissoluble, that the bond that is formed between a man and a woman when they exchange vows in the Catholic Church, as Christians in the Catholic Church, they form an indissoluble bond. And that bond is also representative of the bond that Jesus has with us in the church, right? He loves us. He's church is bound to Christ as his spouse. Throughout the Old Testament, we find all kinds of teaching, divine teaching about marriage, but it's in the New Testament that Christ raises it to the level of a sacrament. To image his own love for the church, and so that sacrament is unbreakable, and for that reason, what an annulment is, a lot of people would prefer to refer to it as a declaration of nullity is the church simply saying that there was no grounds for a sacramental marriage in the church. And so it's simply a declaration saying that whatever happened civilly did not happen, did not happen as a sacrament. That would be one way to explain it. The canon lawyers might want me to parse that out a little bit more, but that gives us some of the basics of what happens in a declaration of nullity. And without that declaration of nullity, without that declaration of nullity, we presume that all marriages in the Catholic Church are valid. Right? What else would we think? Otherwise, we'd have to always question every marriage. So all marriages are considered valid until it's proven otherwise. So this woman is already married to someone else in the eyes of the church. And to not pursue a declaration of nullity in her case would be to be married to two different men then.
Yes. And, you know, that's you know, to the Catholic Church, that can't do that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't attend the justice, the court's wedding.
Well, John, if I may say, every single one of these shows gets archived. You could just play this answer that Father just gave for your family. That'd be, or you can maybe try putting it in your own words. I don't know, but the answer will be there for you, John. Thanks for that call, John.
And also, you could look at the Catechism. Look at what the Catechism has to say about the sacrament of marriage. Do you have a copy of the Catholic Catechism, possibly, John? Or you could look it up online.
No, I have it in front of me right here.
Yes. So check out the section on the sacrament of marriage, and that will explain a number of things as well. So I would read up on that before you go and have that conversation with your brother.
Okay, John, thank you very much for that call. We got to take a quick break. It's open forum today on Catholic Answers Live. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. Father Paul Jerome Keller, a Dominican priest, in case you didn't know it, is our guest this hour, and we'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Harry Connick Jr., and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. This is Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, and I have a question for you. What if there were an easy and regular way for you to get better month by month and year by year at defending your faith? What if this way were inexpensive and delivered right to your home? There is. It's called Catholic Answers Magazine, and each issue is a lively and engaging lesson in apologetics and evangelization. And right now, we are holding our annual subscription drive so you can save big off the regular price. Subscribe today at 818-487-2011 or online at Catholic.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the regular price. But wait, there's more. Subscribe for 2 years and we'll cut $20 off the regular price and send you a customized Catholic Answers flash drive containing audio lectures from Tim Staples, Carlo Broussard, Trent Horn, Cy Kellett, and a talk from me on one of my favorite saints, Catherine of Siena. That's a savings of $20 plus 5 brand new audio presentations when you sign up for a 2-year subscription to Catholic Answers Magazine at 818-487-2011 or Catholic.com today.
Wouldn't it be great to have a book to give to anyone to explain exactly why Catholics believe what we believe? The good news is that now there is. Why We're Catholic is the groundbreaking new resource by apologist Trent Horn, that one book you can hand to anyone as a starting point for helping them find their way into or back to the practice of the Catholic faith. Don't miss out on the most important, life-changing book to come along in years. Order your copies of Why We're Catholic today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Homeschool Connections has recently formed a partnership featuring a dual enrollment program with Franciscan University of Steubenville. Our website is homeschoolconnections.com. We are a proud sponsor of Catholic Answers Live.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. Cy Kellett, your host, and very happy to be back in the hosting chair. Having been away again, thanks to all the folks who covered for me while I was away in impressive fashion, I should say. Of course, Jerry Usher, you know, who knows how to do this job very well. Don Johnson, John Leonetti, and Matt Swaim all covered at some point over the last 9 days, and I am very grateful to them for doing it. But just as pleased as punch to be back in the chair. 888-318-7884 is our number. Father Paul Keller is our guest, associate professor of sacramental theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. And our next caller is Mary in Toronto, Canada, watching on YouTube. Hi, Mary. Thanks for your call. What's your question for Father Keller?
Hi, Father. Thank you for taking my question. Actually, it's kind of like a threefold question. And so I know that when a person is not in the state of grace, they should not be receiving the Eucharist. And my question is, sometimes, and this is something that's been told to me, this is why I wanted to clarify, sometimes our parish will do confessions after Mass. And I heard someone say this, and as far as I'm concerned, it's wrong, so I just want to clarify that if you are planning to do the confession afterwards, that it's still okay to receive Christ because you have the intention to then be in a state of grace. So that was one of the questions pertaining to not being in a state of grace. The other question was, when you're, again, not in a state of grace, but yet you're praying for someone, or you know how you say your daily prayers, that it's not as effective. So if I'm praying specifically for someone that's passed or someone that I know is, you know, ill, or you want healing for that person and you're praying for them, but you yourself are not in a state of grace, that the prayer itself is not as effective as if you were in a state of grace. And then the third part of it is that my understanding is this, the idea of divine mercy prayer, that I can be a little bit on the scrupulous side, so any kind of uneasiness, I don't want to use the word torment because I'm not tormented by it, but the uneasiness of, I was born and raised Catholic, always been in the Catholic faith, I know it's the true faith, that was a given, but family members, people close to me that have passed, that I know that we're not in a state of grace, my understanding is pray for them now, which I do, but I can't get my head around the fact that praying for them a divine mercy prayer now after they've passed, when I know they've passed not being in a state of grace, and I understand God is not bound by time and space, I understand all that, but I just can't get my head around that, even though I pray for them.
Okay, Mary, thanks so much. It's the three questions. Father, you got all three?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
Let's let Father take a stab at that, Mary. Thank you.
Someone's not in the state of grace, but at Mass, they should not be going to Holy Communion. Holy Communion is reserved for those who are in the state of grace. And quite frankly, one is not bound to go to Holy Communion at every Mass. So if someone has had the unfortunate experience of falling into the state of sin, serious sin, mortal sin, that is to say, and needs to go to confession but is unable to do so before Mass, then they should go to Mass and pray and worship Almighty God to the and then get to confession as soon as possible. Quite frankly, it'd be better, the best thing to do is to try to get to confession before Mass. If confessions are not offered until after Mass, then that's a bit unfortunate. As for the second thing, if one is not in the state of grace, what happens to their prayers? Well, the thing that someone should do is, when they're not in the state of grace, immediately is to ask God's forgiveness. So and we should never stop praying for someone, but we should, if we have, if someone has fallen into serious sin, they should make a good, do their best to make a good act of contrition and continue to pray. To what extent are their prayers meritorious? The extent to which their contrition is heartfelt before Almighty God. And finally, regarding the prayers for the dead, whether they're in the state of grace or not, we don't know. We don't know how God judges, and so we leave that to Him. There are so many situations that we don't, or parts of a person's life that we don't know about. That's why God does the judging. We don't. We should pray for them no matter what, even if it appeared to us from our limited perspective that they might not have been in the state of grace when they died. But then again, we don't know in those last absolute seconds of before the soul departs the body, what divine things might have intervened in the meantime.
Okay, Mary?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You're
so
very
much.
Welcome.
Thank you for that call. 888-318-7884. The number, open forum, means any call you've got on us Catholics. We're happy to take it, and you don't have to be Catholic to call. David in Amarillo, Texas, listening on 1360 AM. Your question for Father Paul Keller.
Yes, Father. Thank you for taking my call. I've got just a real quick question related to a declaration of nullity and a quick follow-up if the time's available. Basically, my question is, if you have a couple that a declaration of nullity was granted, does the sexual relationship that existed in that union, quote union, would that then be considered fornication at that point? And then obviously culpability would be mitigated, but is that something that should still be brought to confession as a venial sin in a sense?
No, because the people thought that they were married, and the church, considered them to be married. We didn't discover the fact of the lack of validity in the marriage until the case is brought forward. So this is the problem. A lot of people think, the children are illegitimate. No, they were civilly married, so the children cannot possibly be. Because a declaration of nullity does not undo the civil aspect of the marriage has to be done in a court of law, a civil court of law, and that's what divorce court is about. The declaration of nullity is simply saying that from the church's perspective, there was something interfering with the validity of the marriage, and therefore, once the declaration is declared, while it does maintain that there was never the marriage itself was invalid from the church's point of view, that doesn't mean that everything that happened from the up to the declaration of nullity was necessarily a bad thing. There's no way to judge it. How would you know, right? So there would be every expectation that the married couple would do all the things that married people are supposed to do, all the acts of marriage that are included. So no, that would not be fornication, nor is that matter for the confessional. The only thing that would be matter for the confessional are the kinds of lack of charity or other things that would be definite sins that took place between the two or individually by oneself or with others and so forth. Those kinds of things certainly, but not the acts of the marriage itself. Unless the acts of the marriage were contrary to natural law, such as using birth control and so forth.
Okay, David?
All right. Can I add a quick follow-up related to this?
Yes, but it's got to be quick because we only have short time till the break.
Okay. Well, it's pretty much universally accepted with Protestants that the porneia exemption in Matthew 19 – where Jesus says a man divorces his wife except for porneia,
right.
He commits
yes.
adultery. It's pretty much universally accepted among Protestants that that is referring to adultery, essentially that adultery is your out. That, you know, so when you say your vows, for pretty much all Protestants, especially faithful ones that read the scriptures, they're essentially saying, till death do us part unless you cheat on me.
Okay.
Isn't that a pretty clear withholding of consent?
No, the porneia, that doesn't necessarily hold that description of porneia. Father Francis Martin has a book, or at least a chapter in a book, the title of which I can't remember right now, on marriage, that refers to what porneia is often taken to be, at least in the Greek, is not an adulterous relationship, but an incestuous relationship. So this is something much more severe. So it's the one exception that Christ makes because of incest.
And then
we don't necessarily buy into the Protestant interpretation.
And that would pose incest is it's not you're not capable of entering marriage. That's what
right.
So that would that would be a null attempt at marriage in any case.
Get go.
Yeah.
Right.
Thank you so much for that question, David. Father Paul Keller, our guest this hour on Catholic Answers Live, and it's an open forum. You don't have to be Catholic to call. You don't really have to know anything about the Catholic Church, or you can know lots about the Catholic Church. Any angle you're coming from, we're happy to take your calls today. 888-318-7884. We'll be right back with more on Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Summer is coming, and with it, teens, young adults, and even adult friends and family will find themselves with a lot of free time on their hands. The good news is that Catholic Answers has something to fill up that free time. Two great graphic novels that combine visual excitement and quirky humor with philosophy and theology. The Truth Is Out There and its sequel, The Big Picture, follow two heroes as they travel through time and space, discovering truths about life, God, the Church, and eventually embarking on an exciting adventure along the timeline of salvation history. These books are so appealing, we guarantee if you just leave them sitting around, someone in the household will pick them up and read, and better yet, enjoy and learn from them. The Truth Is Out There and The Big Picture are also great catechetical tools for youth ministry, college classrooms, campus outreach, high school programs, RCIA, and parish family programs, and more. The Truth Is Out There and The Big Picture are available individually or packaged together at a very special price. Get yours today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to the shop at Catholic.com, or visiting a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When you need answers about the Catholic faith, you need to have someone to turn to you can trust. At Catholic Answers, we take that seriously. And at Catholic.com, you'll find the answers to thousands of your questions on all things Catholic with an extensive library of audios, videos, tracks, articles, and more that gets larger every day. We've given the site a whole new look with better navigation than ever before and lots of great new features to make your Catholic.com experience one that will have you coming back again and again. That's Catholic.com with answers from the people you can trust at Catholic Answers. Visit us today.
Save the dates. On Saturday and Sunday, September 9th and 10th, the EWTN Family Celebration is coming to Worcester, Massachusetts. Make plans now to bring the whole family to this free event. Log on to EWTN.com/Family Celebration for all the details. That's Saturday, September 9th and Sunday, September 10th. The EWTN Family Celebration is coming to the DCU Convention Center in Worcester, Massachusetts. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Our summer series kicks off tomorrow, Wednesday, June 14th. Live, it's here in the San Diego area. Tim Staples will be speaking tomorrow night on Catholic Answers to Common Objections at St. Michael Catholic Church. For more information, you can go to our Catholic Answers Facebook page or call 619-387-7200. Do you happen to know, Nick, I'm just asking you because you're sitting there, do they stream these talks that... Oh, so some of them will be. So check the Facebook page for this summer series where the Catholic Answers apologists and others from Catholic Answers go out and speak at local parishes because we're part of a local church. And so what good are we if we don't contribute something to the local church? I guess I shouldn't. Maybe I didn't phrase that completely delicately, but we are, in fact, part of the Diocese of San Diego, so we're happy to get to go out and visit parishes and do that. Today, 888-318-7884 is our number, and we are having an open forum, a Catholic Answers open forum. Any question you've got on the life, the faith, the history, the morals, the saints, the sacraments, anything having to do with the Catholic Church is welcome. Father Paul Jerome Keller, a Dominican priest and theologian, is our guest this hour, and he'll be happy to take your calls. We go down to Gary in Canada. Listen, he must be listening to EWTN because he's listening on shortwave radio. Gary, I haven't had someone listening on shortwave before. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah. Actually, I hear you better over the phone than over the shortwave, but that's okay. It depends on the weather. It seems to come in really good sometimes and not so good the other times.
But am I right? It's the EWTN shortwave signal that you're getting? Ah, yeah. Okay. Great.
Yeah.
So, Gary, your question for Father Keller.
Oh, my question is, thank you for taking my question. It's I was just wondering if I just my Sunday obligations at Mass, the readings, what percentage of the Bible is covered just Sundays only? And then what percentage, if I go every day of the week, what percentage of the Bible would be covered? And then I'd like to know, what percentage of the Bible is never read at church?
Wow, that's a those are excellent questions in terms of percentages. I have not seen the statistics on the percentages. There is a wonderful book, Gary, that's called Index Lectionum, and it's written by Matthew Hazell, H-A-Z-E-L-L, and it really has a chart of all the comparison of the readings for Mass on Sundays and weekdays, and compares that with the older form of the Mass, or the extraordinary form, lectionary as well, which was much more limited. I'm not aware that that the author has done statistical analysis in terms of percentages, but I might be missing something there. I can tell you that the vast majority of the New Testament, if not all the New Testament, is actually read. Virtually all the New Testament is read throughout the 3-year cycle, and then again during the 2-year cycle of the weekdays. As for the Old Testament, large portions are read. Some things, such as the Book of Leviticus, are not covered in that lectionary, or if they are, it's very minimal. And other things, other parts that might seem overly lengthy are omitted as well. So, for instance, just a couple of weeks ago, and this is at a weekday Mass, we were reading from the book of Tobit, and some of the chapters of Tobit were left out in the interest of trying to get the bulk of the story, the account of Tobit's life, read in a 1 week time in order to move on to other books of the Old Testament. So there are some things sometimes that get left out that make me wonder, certain lines, and Hazell covers that in his book, certain scripture passages that might be left out that would be worth teaching, that are a little more forceful. Some things are left out of Psalms, for instance, that people in our own age would consider a little rough on the ears for the modern ear, anyways. And so, some of the more warlike and hostile lines are taken out. My own opinion is that I think we could leave it all in and just let the preacher do a really good explanation of what this means in the Word of God and so forth. As for the actual percentages, I can't tell you, but I can tell you that the vast majority of the entire Bible is heard by someone who goes to Mass on Sunday and weekdays, slightly less for someone who's only going on Sundays, but still quite a bit.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Gary. Thanks for listening on shortwave as well. It's good. It's another good reason, Father, to, if you can, attend daily Mass, because even the Sunday readings are more in context when you've read the readings for the week, and then the Sunday reading comes. It very often it it's you get a flavor for where that reading is in the scripture.
Yes, indeed, indeed. It's not always done in a certain order, right? We won't find the readings following just the regular order of the Bible if you were to read it from cover to cover.
Right.
So we skip around and go back and forth with different books for different times of the year and so forth.
So, something I wonder about, when we read, okay, so usually there's the reading from the Hebrew Scriptures, there's a reading from the New Testament that's not the Gospel, and then a reading, there's always the Gospel reading. And
right.
Those three readings very often seem arranged to like, for example, on Pentecost Sunday, the readings will all be giving us something that helps us understand Pentecost Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Is that arrangement of the readings ancient? Was that all for the Sunday readings? I mean, not the weekday mm-hmm. readings, or is that?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. The Sunday readings have some of them still follow what would be done in the older calendar at the lectionary that had been in use for quite a few hundred years, but it is the case that a lot of the readings that we have now do not correspond with the extraordinary form lectionary.
I see.
So there's quite a bit of difference between the two now. Some overlap, but some don't.
But far fewer readings in the old lectionary. You would have
yes.
gotten
the, yes.
One of the things about the reform of the liturgy is we do read much, much more scripture on Sunday and during the week than we would have
that
before.
That was the desire of the fathers of the council. That's absolutely correct.
We go now to David in Arizona, listening to EWTN on Sirius Satellite Radio. David, your question for Father Paul Keller.
Yes, Father. Thank you very much for taking my call. It's an annulment question. I understand that the sacrament of marriage has to be annulled before going on and getting married in the church. The question I have is, does a non-sacramental marriage have to be annulled somehow, or need something with the church to be gotten somewhere?
Yes, it would, David. So, for instance, if you have a Catholic who marries another Catholic outside of the rite of the church without the permission of the bishop. So let's say a Catholic man and a Catholic woman have the mayor of the city witness their vows in a park because that's what they felt like doing. And so it's a non-sacramental marriage. It's not a valid marriage. As a result, there is a pro forma investigation. The documents are simply submitted that this was the case. We don't have to go through a full-blown examination of all the deeds in the marriage. It's simply we submit the proof that this marriage was not done according to the form of the church, the required form of the church, and therefore was not valid and not sacramental. And a person who wanted to move on from that relationship, let's say the relationship ended, they would want to have that declared null, even if it is a more or less a pro forma declaration of nullity. That said, such a couple who recognize that they have not had a valid and sacramental marriage would want to rectify that. They might not want, indeed, they're in love with each other, they've formed a family, they want to rectify that, and they would simply go to their parish priest and take the steps necessary to have their marriage sacramentalized.
All right, thank you. Is that lack of form?
Yes, it is lack of form.
All right.
The case that we just described.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
You're welcome, David. God bless.
Thank you, David.
Go
ahead.
I have to do a shout out if I can, really quick, Si.
Oh, all right.
Two groups of people are novices, just in case they're listening. They're probably not because they're pretty much away from electronic things. But just in case our novices are listening here at St. Gertrude's, I should do a shout out and a blessing to them, as well as my students at the seminary. I'm teaching a morals course this summer on the virtues, virtue theory of St. Thomas Aquinas, and some of them may be listening, so I want to say hello to them as well.
And now that you've listened, get back to the books. Father is not playing around. He's not grading easy.
Yeah.
Oh, you must be coming up on finals then, right?
Yes, it's this week's the last week for the summer course.
Ah, okay. All right. Well, then, yeah, get to studying your Aquinas. 888-318-7884 is the number. Open forum with Father Paul Keller, our Dominican priest and teacher of theology, as you heard, and specifically of Aquinas this term. We'll be back right after this with more Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live.
Yo, hi, everybody. This is Dion, a wanderer. Hey, you want to know when I keep it on Catholic Answers Live? I feel at home. God bless. Stay well.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Do you love sharing the gospel and want to learn to be more effective? Join the St. Paul Street Evangelization Online School of Evangelization. You will learn to build bridges of trust and make disciples by befriending strangers, proclaiming the gospel, inviting people to the church, and praying with others. We'll ask for a pledge of financial support, but if you are unable to give, we'll give you a membership at no cost. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus said to his disciples, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It is no longer of any use. You are the light of the world. Your light must shine before others, that they may see your good example and glorify your heavenly Father." In many ways, we Catholics blend in with a greater population. Culturally, we are very much the same. What distinguishes us, other than the fact that we attend the local Catholic Church? Do we pray grace in restaurants? Do we dress more modestly than is the current norm? Are we found at daily Mass? Are we openly pro-life with those who would disagree? How willing are we to risk disapproval for our commitment to our faith? How much do we really love Him? Now, what are our Catholic answers? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Open Forum on Catholic Answers Live. Open Forum, meaning whether you're Catholic or not, you're welcome to call. Any question you've got on us Catholics, you're welcome to share it with us. We'll do our very best to address it. And it's going to be a good answer today, no matter what the question, because we've got Father Paul Keller with us, and who we established early in the hour is a very humble Dominican. Didn't we establish that, didn't we, Father?
No, we did not.
Oh, okay.
In fact, when I go to confession, I always confess the sin of pride. So there.
Oh, gee. All right. Yeah. Well, that's the most I would like to know about your confessions.
Okay, all you're going to get.
No. Okay, good. 888-318-7884 is the number. Carol, in South Dakota. Carol in South Dakota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Your question for the humble Father Paul Keller.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hi, Carol.
Thank you for taking my call.
Happy to. What's your question?
It's going to have to be pretty brief. I actually have to get ready to go on my shifts for my military training. So it might actually turn into a question/comment. It's how we, as lay people in the church, can help people come to understand how much more attractive a sacramental marriage is than anything less than. And I say that coming from having gone through the healing annulment process.
Thank you, Carol. Wow. Father, before you answer, can I just ask Carol a question?
Yes.
I'm guessing Air Force, Carol. Is that right?
Nope.
No.
Army.
Oh, in the Army. I thought South Dakota was full of Air Force people. Well, in any case, thank you very much for your service. And now I will get out of Father's way and he can answer your question.
Not a problem. Carol, what a great question/comment. You're absolutely right. But, you know, there's something that has to be done before, and that is to bring people to understand the beauty of living in union with God, loving God, allowing God to shower them with all the blessings that He has for them by drawing them into the interior life of the Blessed Trinity. were made for that, right? And so what we need to do to start this whole helping process is for people to come into a proper relationship with God through Jesus Christ, to really live their faith. Everything else follows from that, including a sacramental marriage. Now, in your case, it sounds like it happened the other way around, and for some people it does. Maybe for a lot of people these days, that's what's happening. Unfortunately, I don't think that we're always on the front line preaching the beauty of the Christian life and also the married life. And that means maybe making some hard decisions in terms of the way that we insist on teaching people about this. Perhaps we've been a little bit too weak on that in the Catholic Church. I don't know. But I think part of it, or a good part of it anyways, is evangelizing to begin with.
Well, I really appreciate that. And I'm borrowing from someone else that said sometimes it's not a no, but a bigger yes.
Yes. Right.
Well, thank you, Carol. Thanks for spending the time with us before you had to go on duty, and God bless you in your service in the Army. Let's see how many we can get in here before the top of the hour. Father, let's go to Ed in Kansas, listening on the EWTN app. Ed, your question for Father Keller.
Hi there. Yes. Mine is kind of on the history of the Liturgy of the Hours. When did this come up in the Catholic Church, and how did it develop?
Sure.
And then, well, since it's supposed to be the official prayer of the Church, why isn't it promoted? And why isn't the Mass considered the official prayer?
Right. Okay, great. Thanks for your questions, Ed. First of all, the answer that we need to give you is in the form of several books, and so we have a very limited time. I'll just say this. The Liturgy of the Hours, or the Divine Office, from the Latin officium, the duty, the responsibility to pray on behalf of the Church, goes all the way back to Jewish times, right? The pious Jew would go to pray seven times a day, and offer praise and worship to Almighty God, as well as to petition Him. And that the official prayer book of the Jewish was the Psalter. Once David composed the 150 Psalms in the Book of Psalms, or the Psalter. Of course, the early Christians, especially the apostles, were themselves Jews, so they continued this practice of using the Psalms to pray, and this simply continued. It's just never stopped. It's not something that ever started. It simply was continued and understood through Christ. So when the apostles and the early Christians were praying the Psalms, they of course began to understand them in terms of Christ's revelation of Himself and the Father. Now, all of that developed, and then as monastic communities arose, their life centered around the praying of the Psalms, as well as the Mass, the Divine Liturgy, and with regard to the official prayer of the Church, the Mass is really the official prayer of the Church. The Psalms bring out, they accompany the Mass, they help us to draw even more fruit from what we've received at Mass in terms of the Scriptures being read and our pondering of them, as well as receiving the Holy Eucharist. But also in praying the Psalms, we deepen our hunger for the Eucharist, so we prepare ourselves for Mass as well. Why isn't it promoted? I think a lot of places, a lot of dioceses are trying to promote it. People's schedules are very busy. It's really the religious, the Dominicans, the Franciscans, the Carmelites, and cloistered religious, monastics, the Benedictines, and other monks and nuns have a life that's set aside where they can spend that kind of time in prayer. Most people are not able to because they're very busy going to work. And I am still amazed at how many lay people use the Psalter in their daily lives, in spite of the fact that they're so busy. But to try to set something up where they would be able to get to do that every day in the context of a parish would probably be harder on their on them in terms of their schedules, their lives.
Okay, Ed?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay. All right, Father. You. You got a pretty good Father.
That's good. That's all I need.
Yeah, I don't want you to get a a big head about it. But
no, we don't want that.
You got a pretty good. But that, what about, do you know the names of any apps for Liturgy of the Hours?
Yes, there's, you just go in and type in Liturgy of the Hours or Divine Office.
Nick just told me Laudate. I had forgotten that name. But
Laudate is one. There's one called iBreviary. I really like that one. That's my favorite.
iBreviary. All right. And those are kind of nice, too, because they'll give you the whole the readings and the responses and everything for the day, and you don't have to learn to use the book.
Yes, exactly.
For people, slower people
right.
like me.
Yep.
Let's go to Catherine in Oregon, listening on 88.3 FM. Catherine, your question for Father Paul Keller.
Hi, Father Keller. Thank you so much. Very quickly here, I was annulled for my marriage about 14 years ago, but from a Dominican parish, the only Dominican parish here that I know of in Oregon. And the pastor, we did not know that if my husband that I'm now married to, today's my 10th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
The eve of St. Anthony. Padua, and I was married in the Dominican Church of my archdiocese or parish. Or,
great.
Anyway, they're not part of the archdiocese, as Father told me. And anyways, but we don't know if my husband was baptized, and so if he wasn't, it's supposedly not a sacramental marriage. So did that make my marriage lesser than? And that's kind of. Question.
Your previous marriage, Catherine?
My previous marriage, we were both baptized.
Okay, and so you're asking about your present marriage?
Correct.
And your husband is not baptized, right?
Well, there's no record. But Father Antonio, married us in the Dominican parish here in Oregon. And I just learned that, your husband wasn't baptized, so you don't have a sacramental marriage. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, but do I have a valid marriage?
Yes, it's valid, but it wouldn't be, you really should, if he's not been baptized, there's no reason to put off his being baptized. He should seek out baptism as soon as possible, and that would add, that would sacramentalize your marriage. If the presumption was that he was baptized, but he's not, then records would have had to be brought forward at the time of the marriage. So I'm not really sure. This is something you might want to take up with your pastor. Sounds like there's some questions there that haven't been fully answered, and I'm not in a position to be able to deal with all of that in this short period of time. So I would definitely take this up with your pastor and find out what records are available regarding your husband's baptism and the state of the marriage and so forth. Okay?
My marriage is valid, though, in the public church. Is that right?
I'm presuming that it is, but with this question of the non-baptism of your husband, it's beginning to raise. I don't know. Did you supply baptismal certificates at the time you were married at the Dominican?
We could not find any, Father. For myself, of course.
Right. Well, what decision was made by the pastor at the time that the marriage was done without the baptism certificate?
The Dominican pastor married us. He says, "Well, it's up in the air," and it might not be a sacramental marriage, but it would be a valid marriage.
Right. Okay, so then he had permission from the bishop to be able to do that marriage, so I'm sure he covered all the bases. But if your husband desires to be baptized, he should seek that immediately.
Okay, Father. Great.
Okay, great. God bless, Catherine.
God bless. Thank you, Father Keller. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Catherine. Thank you so much for that call. Father, lots of calls on marriage today. You seem to get calls in bunches. I was remembering an earlier show where many of the calls were on the sacrament of confession.
Right. Yes. and I loved it.
So, yeah, because that's really, that's your area more than anything, isn't it? The area of sacraments of healing.
Yeah, it is. But I love all the sacraments, especially the Eucharist.
Well, that's what I would hope to hear from.
Fair enough. Huh?
Yeah, right. That seems like a reasonable answer. Father Paul Jerome Keller is Associate Professor of Sacramental Theology at Mount St. Mary's of the West Seminary in Cincinnati. Is there a website or anything where people can find out more about you, Father?
At the athenaeum.edu, athenaeum.edu.
And may we have
if you misspell it, Google will find it for you.
We're right up against it. Can you give us a quick blessing before we go?
May Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. And thank you so much for joining us today on Catholic Answers Live. We do
great
it again tomorrow.
Great to be with you, Si. Thank you.
Thank you, Father. We'll see you tomorrow on Catholic Answers Live.
Bye.